Not now, but later. Chapter 116. Several people are present in the judgment hall at Caesarea. Just look. Felix, the governor, sits upon the judgment seat. Several Jews from Jerusalem stand before him. We see the high priest Ananias and some other members of the Sanhedrin. But look, an ordinary common man is also in this judgment hall. His hands are bound while a few Roman soldiers guard him. This man is a prisoner. Is he a dangerous criminal? A murderer, thief, or robber? Why, no. This bound man is Paul. Wasn't the apostle sent to Caesarea by Lysias because the Jews wanted to kill him? Paul already has been in Caesarea 5 days, and the Jewish accusers also have arrived in Caesarea. The Roman governor is sitting on the judgment seat for the purpose of trying this case. The Jews have taken a lawyer, an advocate with them by the name of Tertullus. This man will speak for the Jews. He will be their orator. When they are all together, Felix nods to Tertullus. This means that Tertullus can make known his accusations against Paul. Tertullus does not have to be told twice. He immediately begins to speak. Listen. We are glad you are reigning over us, for we live in peace and quietness under your government, and you do many good things for us as the nation of the Jews. Do you hear that? He begins by praising the governor. He does that for a purpose. He hopes that Felix will be flattered. His purpose is to win the favor of the governor. What he says is nothing else but flattery, for it is not true. Felix is not such a good governor. He is a bad and cruel man. After these complimentary words, this Jewish lawyer begins to vehemently accuse Paul. Hear his words. This man, he says with a voice full of disdain while pointing to Paul, this man is a pestilent fellow. He continually tries to stir up the people against the Romans. By him, our nation will be plunged into the greatest misery. Really, Governor, he is a very dangerous person. At the same time, he is a staunch follower of Jesus, the Nazarene. Besides, he had the courage to desecrate the temple at Jerusalem. He brought Greeks into the temple. Uh-oh, that is something. Have you understood it? Thus, according to him, Paul is a rebel, a heretic, and a temple profaner. The high priest Ananias and the other Jews nod their heads in approval. Yes, so it is. They are completely in accord with what Tertullus is saying. The Jews hope that Felix will deliver Paul to them. Oh, if that should take place, they would get rid of this hated Paul as quickly as possible. They would kill him, and then he would be gone. Felix calmly listens to this serious accusation. Meanwhile, he watches Paul intently. Doubt came into his mind. Can all that be true? He can scarcely believe it. Paul does not look a bit like a criminal. He decides, in any event, to be very cautious. After Tertullus is finished with his oration, the governor beckons to Paul. He means, "What answer do you have? Is it true what Tertullus says?" Paul had listened patiently to these false accusations. Now that the governor gives him the opportunity to speak, he will defend himself. "Most of what Tertullus has summoned up is not true," Paul answers. "He claims that I am a rebel, but he cannot prove it. That is a big lie. He also has said that I am a disciple of Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, in that he is right, for it is the truth. I worship the God of our fathers, and I believe that we all will arise from the dead. Finally, Tertullus has accused me of profaning the temple. This also is not true. I only came into the temple to bring alms and offerings to my nation. When I came into the temple, a few Jews from Asia Minor saw me, and they stirred up the people against me. Those Jews from Asia Minor should be present too. Then they also could accuse me if they had anything against me. Paul speaks quietly and calmly. He knows that he is innocent. His conscience does not accuse him. It has become quiet in the judgment hall. Everyone waits anxiously for the verdict of Felix. What will he do? He is the judge. Felix ponders over what he has heard. He does not believe the great accusations of Tertullus. He can notice that Paul is speaking the truth, and he is convinced that Paul is innocent. Now then, Felix, it is very easy for you to know what to do. You should acquit Paul, and at the same time give him his freedom by releasing him. Yes, boys and girls, Felix should have done this, but he does not. Why not? He has to administer justice, doesn't he? Doesn't he have to make the decision? Yes, that is true, he should, but he doesn't. Why not? Well, he wants to grant the Jews a favor. He knows the Jews are enraged at Paul, and if he should release him, the Jews will seek revenge and work against him in many ways. Probably they would even accuse him before the emperor. Then all his wicked deeds would be revealed. No, Felix does not dare to release Paul. He wants to keep the Jews as his friends. Still, he does not want to deliver Paul into the hands of the Jews. He understands very well that then Paul would not live long. They surely would kill him. No, he will not risk that. Especially because Paul possesses Roman citizenship. If that should come to the ears of the emperor, his lot would be sealed. Do you know what he does? He defers the case and tries to gain time. Yes, that is all well, he says evasively, but I cannot decide at this time. I must know exactly what happened. Lysias is coming here soon, and I want to hear from this chief captain of Jerusalem. After I have investigated thoroughly, I will make a decision. The Jews were sadly disappointed. They fervently had hoped that the governor would have delivered Paul to them, but that did not happen. They could do nothing else but return to Jerusalem and await the issue. Paul remained imprisoned in Caesarea, but is not treated as a criminal. His many friends in Caesarea receive permission to visit him. Philip, the deacon, and Cornelius, the centurion, lived there, didn't they? You can be sure that they gave him everything he needed. One day, Paul was taken out of prison and brought to the palace of the governor. Once again he stood before Felix. Drusilla, the wife of this Roman governor, sat next to him. His wife? Why, no, Drusilla was not the wife of Felix. The Bible tells us that Drusilla was a Jewess. She was married to another man, but she had left this man, her first husband, and was now living with Felix. This shows that Drusilla was an ungodly, a wicked woman. Felix should not have had anything to do with Drusilla. She should not have lived with him. Still, they lived together. Felix also was a wicked man. Paul again stands before Felix, who had sent for him. The governor and Drusilla would like to know what Paul really preaches. Felix asks the apostle if he will tell him more about it. Oh, the faithful preacher is immediately ready to do so. He will do it gladly. He tells them the narrative about the Lord Jesus. He tells them the Lord Jesus came upon the earth to save sinners. He relates how the Savior suffered and died, thereby meriting salvation for his people. Paul also speaks about the coming of Christ upon the clouds of heaven, at which time the Son of God shall judge the quick and the dead. The apostle speaks about righteousness and temperance. Behold, Drusilla sits there, and the words and warnings of Paul do not make the least impression upon this wicked woman. Probably she does not believe it, but rather she does not want to believe it. However, Felix begins to get flustered, and a frightened expression comes into his eyes. Righteous? No, he is not righteous. He is unrighteous. He is a cruel man. Temperate? Oh no, neither is he temperate. He does not live as he should. He lives with a woman who is not his wife. His entire life is one great mass of wickedness. When he thinks about the coming judgment day, he becomes very much alarmed and frightened. He believes that this dreadful day will come. And then? Then the end will not be well with him. His conscience accuses him. He becomes uneasy. He would sooner not think too much about that. No, for he wants to enjoy his life. Every day he wants to be jolly and cheerful. He wants to feast. But what about the judgment day? No, no, these frightening thoughts must go away. He no longer dares to listen to Paul. Paul, he says, I have no more time to listen to you. Some other time you may come and talk with me about these things. It is enough for this time. Children, what Felix does is very dangerous. He puts off his conversion. He will not forsake sin. He does not want to break with sin. He will not send Drusilla away. That can always be done later, but not now. Thousands of boys and girls do the same as Felix. They defer their conversion. When the minister preaches seriously, oh, then they are so afraid, so terrified. They feel that it will not be well with them if they continue to live in sin. They feel they must be converted. But, away with those unpleasant, gloomy thoughts. No, no, not now. Later they will seriously and continually ask the Lord for a new heart. They will change later, but first they want to enjoy some pleasure in the world, and they put it off and continue to defer it. And then, suddenly, death comes. Death takes them by surprise, and then it is too late. What about you, boys and girls? Do you put off your conversion too? Yes? Oh, that is so dangerous. Death can come at any moment, and if you die unconverted, it also will be forever too late. You must not say later, but you should say now. You still are alive. The possibility of being saved still exists. Later probably will never come. Felix also put it off. Felix continued putting it off. He allowed Paul to come to him often. Oh, yes, but he did not speak about God, the judgment day, and righteousness. No, he didn't want to speak about those things, but he spoke to Paul about money. About money? How strange. That has nothing to do with conversion, has it? Why did he do that? Listen, he hoped that Paul would offer him money to buy his liberty. This was done many times. Paul had plenty of friends in Caesarea who should have some money to pay for their friend's freedom. Money? Yes, Felix can make good use of money. He showed Paul very plainly that he would be open to such a proposal. However, Paul would not consider such a thing. He would not buy his freedom, for he was innocent. His desire was to gain his freedom honestly and not by bribery. Therefore, he continued to refuse. 2 years passed by. But then, suddenly, Felix received a letter from the emperor calling him to Rome. The Jews had accused him before Caesar, and Felix could no longer continue as governor. He was removed from his office. Felix left Caesarea and went to Rome with a heavy heart. He did not grant Paul his freedom before he went, but left him in the prison. Felix had said, "Not now, but later." Nothing ever came of that later. Finally, he died as a wicked, unconverted man. And a little later, Drusilla, the ungodly woman, perished miserably. A serious warning for all of us also lies in this history. Do not always say and think, "Not now, but later," but ask the Lord every day if he will from death make you alive. Not later, but now.